The greatest joy is to conquer one's enemies, to pursue them, to seize their property, to see their family in tears, to ride their horses, and to possess their daughters and wives. The words of Genghis Khan, a despot. We often say somewhere to the right of Genghis Khan whenever we're talking about somebody who is perceived to be extreme, because he was somebody who conquered mercilessly and was not known for just government. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8, we're dealing with the relationship between people and the government. But it's helpful to remember that Ecclesiastes, as a book as a whole, has this underlying theme of this is the way things are. And it's telling us to deal with how to deal with life as it is, rather, perhaps, than life as it should be or we'd like it to be. And so in every theme that Ecclesiastes takes on, there's this underlying message that this is the way life is, and here's how you have to deal with it. And when it comes to government and justice, the teacher makes no exception. And so the first part of his message is respect. He talks about obeying the king. And of course, we would just substitute the word government, because what he is meaning there is not simply a monarch in terms of a figure, a head of state, but he is talking about the one who imposes the law. And so his first contention is that the king, the government, is put in place by God. That's easy to accept if you like the government, and more difficult to accept if you don't like the government. And so the teacher brings a bit of nuance to it, because he's not saying that this or that person is God's man or woman, but rather he is saying this is an institution put in place by God. It's put in place to supervise the law, to punish the wicked, and to praise the good. I'm not going to go into the details of that, because we looked at it fairly recently in 1 Peter in our evening service. But the job of the government is to preserve order in a society, and where there is no government, ultimately anarchy takes hold. And so the first premise is that we are to respect the government because they are put in place by God, and because of that, we are to obey them. But there is a bit of nuance around this. I think it's probably not a contentious statement to say that Donald Trump is a contentious figure. And I'll stop there before I get myself into trouble. But actually, what you have in America at the moment are some people who say, oh yes, the government is God's government, so Donald Trump is God's man. And you can see their logic up to a point, except that I suspect that whenever President Obama was in place, those self-same people weren't saying exactly the same thing. And so it's not to do with the office holder, but it's to do with the office itself. And on the flip side of the coin, you've got people in America who say, oh, Trump is anti-Christian in everything that he does, who disparage him in every way, and for whom Obama could do no wrong. But actually, the teacher gives us a more nuanced view of that. It's not about the person in the post, but it's about the institution itself. And so that helps us whenever we have difficulty with a particular holder of the office. And so we are to understand that they're put in place by God. And so the default is obedience to the government. The default is keeping the law of the land. The default is saying, these people That person is doing a job that God has appointed. And whether I like the way that they're doing it or not, the starting point is that God has put them in place. The teacher talks about you keeping your oath. In other words, being a good citizen. But as ever, the teacher is a pragmatist. He doesn't just say, obey the government because they're great. He says, actually, obey the government because they've got more power than you. And if you don't obey them, you're going to come off worse. If you take on the authorities, the likelihood is that the authorities will be the victors because they have power. And so, as ever, the teacher, the ultimate pragmatist, says the best reason is to obey the government is if you don't, you'll be in trouble. And so, the starting point is one of respect. But it's not an unquestioning respect, because in verse 6, the teacher talks about there being a proper time for every matter, a proper procedure. And so there's a time for questioning the government, a time perhaps for disobeying the government. Remember, this is within the Old Testament, and so you have the example of Daniel and his friends. You have the example of Daniel, who was commanded to pray and said, no, I can't do that because my allegiance above all is to God. And so this is not an unquestioning obedience or respect, but rather it's nuanced. But we have to acknowledge that abuse of power causes damage. And in verse 9, we see there's a time when a man lords over others to his own hurt. There's some discussion about the translation of that particular verse. Some versions have it as to their hurt, and some versions have it to his own hurt. But if you think about the logic of it, when you abuse power, you damage the people that you're abusing, but you also damage yourself. The dictator, the despot, actually dehumanizes themselves. They remove something of the image of God in themselves. And so, abuse of power, yes, causes damage, but not just to the people who do the abusing. Whenever we are in a position of power, it's worth remembering that when we abuse that position of power, we don't just hurt people round about us, but we actually damage ourselves. And so the teacher, on the one hand, talks about respect for the king, respect for the government, but on the other hand, brings a bit of nuance to it, acknowledging the damage that governments can do. Remember the ultimate realist saying, they'll make a mess of it. We know they'll make a mess of it from time to time. And so we're called to deal with reality. He describes a situation where there is justice, but it's accompanied by plenty of injustice. It's not a shock to anybody in these weeks, of all weeks, that people get it wrong from time to time. That governments and politicians make a mess of things from time to time. You can't have watched the goings-on over the past few months, wherever you sit on the whole question of Brexit and all these things, and not thought, what an almighty mess. And the teacher says, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. There'll be justice and there'll be injustice. And the same government will be responsible for both. There'll be politicians who are idealists, and the same politicians at times will make an almighty mess up. And we shouldn't be surprised. Deal with reality. Don't be surprised whenever the heroic leader becomes the person who can do no right. But then the teacher says, remember that God is in control. He talks about a wicked person may live a long time, but it'll go better with those who fear God. Now remember, we've noted before that the teacher is, in a sense, an agnostic about the afterlife. There's nothing in Ecclesiastes about the afterlife. And yet, what we have here is a statement of faith that somehow, ultimately, justice will be done. And we have a huge advantage over the teacher here because we live with the New Testament perspective. And so, for example, we have the book of Revelation, which amongst all the confusing imagery and the stuff that we get ourselves tied up in knots about, actually gives a message of comfort that says to Christians who are suffering injustice, one day it will all be put right. Why? Because God is in control. And so we have this advantage over the teacher because the Bible goes on to spell out how it will all be put right. In the meantime, though, there's a challenge. Put your faith in the right place. And so the teacher's counsel to us, I suspect, would be whether you think that exiting the EU on the 29th of March is the worst thing that could happen or the best thing that could happen. Whether you're longing for a second referendum or you think that that's defiance of democracy. No matter which camp you're in, if you get your way, don't be surprised when a few months down the line or a few years down the line, there's another disappointment coming along. And the sunny uplands that were promised on your particular political party's manifesto somehow haven't come about in the way that you expected. Why? Well, because the teacher says, we live in a world where there's justice and where there's injustice. And where there is meaninglessness, to use his favorite word, a chasing after the wind. And so the teacher would say to us, the ultimate chasing after the world, or after the wind, is to think that if you get your political solution, suddenly all will be well, and the world will have no more problems. He's a pragmatist. He's not an idealist. And so, the challenge then is to put your faith in the right place. And that takes us to the statement above it, that God is in control. And that whatever way political events go in the next few weeks, the next few months, and however disastrously or brilliantly it turns out, there will be disappointments. And there will be things that we say, ah, yeah, I see justice at work. Why? Because on the one hand, we have an institution put in place by God, government. But on the other hand, we have an institution put in place by God, but carried out by fallible humans who make mistakes just like the rest of us. And so in dealing with reality, we're able to put our faith in the right place. And that makes us more relaxed and more passionate. It makes us more relaxed because when everything seems to be going wrong, we say, yeah, not surprised. With the teacher, we might just say, that's the way it is. But we also say, that's not the way it remains. Not because there's a wonderful political solution coming down the track, a wonderful king, to use the teacher's form of government, but rather because God is in control. And so the challenge, as always, is to live faithfully and gladly under the sun. The teacher always comes back to the same solution. Get on with it. Get on with life. Live gladly. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the day. Take pleasure in what God has given you. But with our New Testament perspective, we would say there is something beyond the Son. There is the Son, Jesus, who will come and who will reclaim. And so on the one hand, we are not to despair when kingdoms, as it were, seem to fall apart round about us. But on the other hand, we are to be passionate advocates for the kingdom that is to come. We are to live out the values, not just of under the sun, but we are to live out in obedience to the Son of God, to Jesus, the King and Head of the Church, who will come and who will reclaim. And so, what does that mean for us in terms of engaging with politics, with governments, with rulers? It means get involved. We see that right throughout Scripture. Be good citizens, be active citizens. But it also means don't be naive. Don't for one second believe that a particular political ideology will bring the kingdom, as it were. Only God can do that. And it's Him we are called to serve. So respect the rulers. Pray for them. Engage with them. Don't disparage them. But be aware that our ultimate allegiance is to God through Jesus. The teacher finishes off by saying, "No one can comprehend what goes on under the sun. Despite all our efforts to search it out, no one can discover its meaning. Even if the wise claim they know, they cannot really comprehend it. When somebody comes along and pretends to have all the answers, distrust them. When somebody comes along and humbly says, 'I think this is a better way, and I will passionately campaign for this better way,' then that's perhaps trustworthy. But above all, remember that we live under the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God is in control." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pray for those in authority. Give them wit, give them wisdom, give them humility. We pray that they will somehow understand that they are in an institution appointed by you. But we pray that they will resist the arrogance of saying that they are in your place. Help us to engage wisely in a complex world, humbly, in a world sometimes characterized by arrogance. But above all, may our true loyalty be to the King of Kings, for it's in His name that we pray. Amen.